This is Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast with me, Sarah Maloof. Join me as I chat with fitness gurus, business owners, wellness experts, and other inspiring individuals as together we dive into what it means to live well. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Wellbeing Well Said. I've got to get a new intro, but in the meantime, I'm Sarah Maloof, the host. If you don't know me, I'm so grateful that you're here. And I need to let y'all know that today's episode is part two of a two-part series with Bailey Dean, my guest today. I really wanted to get in the minds of Gen Z. I am a millennial, and I'm just infatuated by the idea of life without, never knowing life without social media and just the trends and the way. Bailey is about, I think, right at 10 years younger than me. So there's just a cultural difference, honestly. And I think it's easy for people my age or older to judge, or really people of any age group to judge those of other age groups. So yeah, go back and listen to part one and then come back and listen to part two as we take a deep dive into the mind of Gen Z, how they relate to the world, their struggles, their strengths, and we're just going to be a little more empathetic moving forward, guys, and we're going to understand people who are different than us. Or maybe you are Gen Z and you're listening and you're like, yeah, I can actually really relate to a lot of these points. So I found it very interesting and fascinating. It made me think, it made me reevaluate, and made me see the younger generation through a little bit of a different light. And I was very impressed by Bailey. She's so well-spoken. We know each other because she has now interned for me for about a year, first personally with my business and then now with a skin consult. She's wise beyond her years. Her information is linked in the show notes. But again, pause, go listen to part one, episode 80, and come back if you have not already. But without further ado, Bailey, welcome back to the show. So moving a little bit, I mean, social media and technology is just going to be intertwined throughout this conversation because that's one of the biggest differentiating factors between my generation and just your generation. And then obviously it's even a greater gap between anyone past the age of 31, you know, and going on up. So, but you moved, you're not from Mississippi, you moved away, you went to college, did something on your own. What drove you to do that? And then with all that we've said about the interactions of human, the access to technology, what did your transition into a new place where you didn't have friends and family around you? Like, what did that look like? And how did your access again to social media and what you had learned through your technological experience help, or maybe also not so much help your experience with your move?
So I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago, and then I moved to Mississippi for school. And the reason I moved here is because I always wanted to go to an SEC school, and I wanted to go someplace where I knew absolutely no one. I don't really know why. I think I was just kind of trying to prove it to myself that I could do it. And so that's just what really pushed me, because I'm such an independent person, and I just wanted to do something completely different than what I had grown up in. And that is the South. I've never lived in the South before. It was a completely new concept for me. And I have loved learning about everything here, but it is very different. So I think that was like part of my key motivators to move here. But then with the technology aspect, when I moved to Mississippi, my senior year of high school, I was already in group chats with like 50 people that were coming to Mississippi State from like day one. The day that I said I was coming here, like, we were all Snapchatting each other. We were all texting, following each other on Instagram. Like, before I even came to school, I felt like I had some sense of community here because we all had been talking for so long. And I met my roommate through Instagram. She had DM'd me one day, and that's how I got my freshman year roommate. And so everything was almost like catapulted because I had met so many people already a year before I even got here. So that when I came here, I kind of felt that sense of community in a way, but then that sense of community didn't necessarily hold up. I never even really talked to many of the people again that I had talked to the year before that I came here. And it was almost like before I left, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so great. Like, I have all these friends already. This is crazy. And then when I actually got here, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so different than what I expected. And it was almost like a shock of like, I don't have friends. And I had this like false sense of confidence, I think, going into it. It all ended up working out in the end, but freshman year was definitely, heck, even sophomore year in the beginning of junior year, I didn't find my true core group of friends until end of junior year of college. And so it was just a struggle trying to make friends, but then also using technology to get there, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting belief. Like, how do you define friends, you know, in nowadays? We all have thousands of quote friends because there are friends on Facebook. There are friends on Instagram. We follow each other on TikTok, like whatever. But then what is a real friend? Who's someone you could call and have a conversation with? Who's someone you go and sit at the sorority house and have lunch with on a Tuesday? Like, who are those people? And how do you grow and build and develop relationships to become those people, move them past the social media friend level to real life friend level? Yeah, that's really interesting. And then like knowing ways to actually grow and develop that into something super meaningful. I think a lot of us can think we have or tell ourselves that we're surrounded by friends and that we have these great circles and all these people. But at the end of the day, like just because you follow someone or they follow you, it really means nothing. Right. Just moving on to something a little more positive that I see in your generation and you specifically, knowing you and having known you for however many, I guess like a year now, is that y'all, and this is again, another one of those fine lines, your generation has been infiltrated with all these wellnessy things and mindset, mental health, all these conversations that are really good and positive. But sometimes, and I'm just saying how I think it can be perceived from our generation up, is like it's boundaries and things like that and mental health conversations and all that almost can sometimes portray a sense of entitlement. And I know it shouldn't, and it shouldn't be like that because we are entitled to taking care of ourselves. But like we grew up more so being like, you do this, you get an 8 to 5, you work this job, you live this life, you show up for this person, you make this money, you do things this way. And we weren't really talking about how all these outside factors and things we were quote supposed to do were impacting us mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. And it was definitely much more glorified to work, perform without saying anything about how it maybe was hindering you in any way, or just asking for help, you know? And now I think it's great that we're talking a lot more about boundaries and mental health and taking care of yourself. But how do you perceive or define like where it's right and good to be really open about certain things first when it's maybe a little more, okay, this should stay personal. This is something I can work through, or this is how I'm going to show up to be respectful, or this is how I'm going to perform in a way that is beneficial for me and the person I'm working with. And this could be when it comes to school or work, or even just like your relationship with your parents. Like, how do you kind of separate or mesh being there for yourself, showing up for yourself, respecting yourself, while also being there for others, showing up for others, respecting others?
I know for me, this has been something really hard. I was trying to do way too much. I still probably do way too much, but so I was overworking myself and then still trying to develop these relationships with other people and be there for them, which caused so many mental health problems with like anxiety and everything. And so I really had to take a step back, and I'm the type of person that I'm going to deal with my own things personally and like really try and get through that and work through it. Maybe talk to like a couple people, but not really like speak on it until after the fact, because I don't want to burden other people with my problems. So for me, I know there's a couple things every single day that I have to do in order to stay my best mentally. And that's usually journaling of some sort, reading even for like 10 minutes, and then some type of movement. Those are the three things that like I have to have in order to maintain my best mental self. And sometimes that means not doing something that I was supposed to do or getting up extra early, because I know that like that is so important to me that I have to set aside that time in order to be able to do those things. And sometimes that means not necessarily showing up for other people, but you kind of just have to put yourself first. And I know that can sound super selfish, but if you're not okay, how can you expect to be okay for other people? And so I definitely think my mindset started to change when I started taking that time for myself. I have been overworked and made, well, because I made myself overworked. I was taking way too many classes. I was trying to do too many extracurriculars. I was just in way over my head. And I've seen how that affects me. And so now almost slowing down in a way has really helped me be able to honestly be there for other people, because I've been there for myself now. And I've been that rock for myself and been able to get through everything that I needed to, so that I can now pour out into other people. And sometimes it's hard because I've had to let go of certain organizations that I'm in. I've had to stop doing other commitments in order to make time for what's important to me. But you kind of have to decide if doing a specific club or taking three extra classes is worth your relationships. Because for me, my relationships, I hold above all others. And it's been really hard for me to say no to other opportunities, but that is what comes first.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I think what you're saying to you specifically, knowing you, is great. And the way you're handling it is very mature. But it's so funny because, like, things like journaling, for example, were not promoted however many years ago. And I think that sometimes that can be twisted. Like, there's obviously this viral thing going on right now with Kim Kardashian's quote about how nobody wants to get up and work, right? That's just been, and it's funny because people were freaking out, you know, like, of course, when you're that privileged and that rich, it's easy for you to say. And while I do agree with a lot of that, and I think, you know, maybe what she said was not exactly the best way to say it, I kind of get what she's saying in the sense of, like, yeah, I see a lot of people who truly do not want to work, and they have this sense of softness or entitlement. Like, they should just have their whole day to them to be able to journal and meditate and do whatever. And, like, at the end of the day, you still need to put in the hard work. You still need to hustle, in a sense, without burning yourself out. Do you see that? Maybe not with you specifically, but as a generational gap, do you think there is a struggle between, like, the younger generation in part wanting to be their best self, but in another part just, like, looking lazy or actually being lazy in comparison to what we've always known?
I feel like I have an interesting perspective on this one, just because my generation, I think, has realized that there's so much more to life than a 9-to-5 job. And I don't know if that came from COVID or just seeing other things through social media, but I know for me, I started to realize that I wanted so much more to life than just work. I always think of, like, the European lifestyle of, like, where in Spain they have a siesta where they take a nap in the middle of the day, or, like, have time to relax, or in, like, France, you can have, like, 2 hours for lunch. There's just, I think, as much as I hustle and I get all my work done and I do everything, I mean, I am a type A type of person when it comes to that. I'm going to get everything that I need to get done, but I'm going to prioritize everything else that is more important to me first. I've had this realization recently that school is no longer my number one priority. Before, I would put that in front of everything else. And I've recently started to see my priorities shifting, and that's okay with me. And I'm trying to become okay with that, because my relationships, my time to myself, everything like that is so much more important. And yes, I'm still going to have a job. I'm still going to work. But I think older generations think work first, life second. Mm-hmm. And my generation's starting to think life first, work second. Like, we're working to live, not living to work.
Mm-hmm. Playing devil's advocate, I think a lot of people would say, well, yeah, that sounds great. Like, no one wants to work. I mean, yeah, some people have their dream job, but a lot of people just work to survive. And, you know, like, a lot of people who are older don't have the understanding of how you can make a career or a living off something like social media, for example. And it's like, yeah, that sounds great in theory, but I have a family and I need to provide for myself and for them. And so I have to go to this job and show up. And it's almost like that should not be discredited, because that is just reality. That just, at the end of the day, that is reality for so many people. And I do think sometimes there's a disconnect between generations. Like, almost looking down upon each other and saying that one way is wrong or one way is right. And sometimes it's just what you know, and it's just what is. It's not necessarily right or wrong. And intention is what's at the root of it all. And I think you have great intention clearly, and you know how to work. And then at the same time, unfortunately, I think there's another group of people, typically usually as my age too, not just your age, but another group of people who expect life to be handed to them and to be able to live and just figure it out. But it's like, where do you draw the line of being irresponsible versus being more happy-go-lucky, living life, putting life first? I don't know. And there's really no like question or answer to that. I think it's just an interesting thought to think about when you're looking at your life and evaluating where you feel fulfilled and where you put your energy, while also having to take care of responsibilities, pay bills, put food in the mouth of others. And I think a lot of times, maybe my generation, putting it back on us and older, even more so the older generations, there might be a sense of jealousy. There might be a sense of, wouldn't that be nice? You know, I would have loved to have made $1 million a year as a TikToker and still been able to travel and do all this stuff, but that just wasn't in the cards for me. And so maybe a lot of what we see is resentment one way or the other. You know, it could go either way. It's like my generation or older saying that we wish we could have done this, that, and the other with social media. But then your generation looking at us and like, well, you weren't getting canceled left and right, and you didn't have all these pressures and all the societal like information that we do now. So you can look at it either way, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yes. Also too, Gen Z is still so young. I don't know where the cutoff is. It's like 24, 25, something like that. I'm 21. I'm so lucky that I have the privilege to be able to say everything that I've said because of the fact that I have no family to support. I do pay my own bills and I do everything like that, but it's just me. And I also have a family that's going to love and support me no matter what. And I know if the end of the day, if I had to go home and live with my parents for a year or two, they would welcome me with open arms, and not everyone has that. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have that security blanket to go back to. And so that makes me a lot more confident in everything that I'm saying, because I do have a backup plan and everything. But I also think that I have learned to live with a lifestyle that is going to match up to with what I can make in the real world. Once again, I'm not even in the real world yet, mm-hmm. but I think I have enough sense of reality to be able to match those up. Yes, I might not be living super lavish, but I'm also okay with that. And I don't have any dependents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay. So let's talk about, because this is a wellness-based podcast, I want to know wellness trends, fads that you either agree with and love, or you think are toxic that are infiltrating your circles, your For You page, your lifestyle. What's going on? What's like, what's it? What do we need to know? What's good? What's bad? What's going on in the wellness world with Gen Z?
The one thing that comes to my mind is hot girl walks. Do you know what that is?
Is it literally just going on a walk?
It's literally just going on a walk, but me and my friends do it all the time, and it's all over TikTok and everything. And it's literally called hot girl walks. And it just means you put on a cute little outfit, you throw in your headphones and put on a podcast or some music, and you go for a walk. And it's just taking that 30 minutes out of your day. Why it's called that, I don't know, but it just kind of makes it, instead of just, oh yeah, I'm going for a walk, it's like, no, I'm going for a hot girl walk.
I'm hot girl walking every morning, but I don't think I'm not falling into the cute little outfit category. I'm throwing on whatever pair of leggings and tank top I find first, but okay. Hot girl walks.
So that's something that me and my friends do all the time. We'll just text each other and be like, all right, you want to go for a hot girl walk? Let's meet at 3. And it's silly. It's literally just the name that makes it a trend. But I think it's also getting a lot more people active and like going outside to just go have their little main character moment, basically. And you go on your little walk, have your time, be the main character in your story for like 30 minutes, and then get back to work.
That's hilarious. Okay. What else? You mentioned journaling. I like that that is something that people are talking positively about. What else? Mm-hmm. Like what, it can be as woo-woo, it could be as practical as you think. And this could be physical, mental, spiritual, any kind of wellness-y things.
I'm thinking the other one is my Apple Watch and just fitness watches in general. That has been something that obviously came with technology. And I have a love-hate relationship with it. Because when I'm doing really good and I'm super active every single day, I love my Apple Watch. It tells me I'm doing great. It tells me I'm doing a good job. Me and my family have like competitions all the time on who can have the most steps. But I also think that can become really toxic because I do have those days where I don't move at all. And then my watch is yelling at me saying, you need to get up, you need to stand up. And it's like, you know what? I just needed a day for myself. And so I go back and forth on if I should just stop wearing it or if I should just keep wearing it. But so it's very hard to know if it's actually good for me or if it's just making me feel bad about myself on those days when I don't want to be active.
Yeah. What? So I don't know how you would perceive it. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. When I was growing up, diet culture was so mainstream. It was always a trendy diet. You know, if it's low fat, if it's low sugar, if it's whatever, but it was typically for the wrong reasons why it became popular. It being whatever you want it to be, calories in, calories out, whatever. I didn't see as much eat whole foods, blah, 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 because it makes you feel good. It gives you energy. It gives you clarity. It was a lot more weight-based and weight-related. How do you perceive whatever that you would think the current diet culture or climate looks like one way or the other? How do you see trends and fads and conversations that we're having now surrounding body positivity, surrounding why we eat a certain way and move a certain way moving? Is that something that you see in a positive light? Have you seen a lot of good come out of certain conversations? Are you still stuck in that same kind of loophole that a lot of us experience with weight loss and feeling less than and comparison because of or eating a certain way just to look a certain way?
I definitely think we've come a long way from what it used to be. Back in 2015, I fell into the veganism trend and I was vegan for like 3 years of my life, all throughout high school. And so I was a 15-year-old girl eating vegan because I didn't want to gain weight and I wanted to be able to eat as much as I could without having to worry about weight as an issue. I was playing two sports. Like I was a very active 15 to 17 year old. And for some reason it was so ingrained that like weight is something that I really needed to care about. And so I got stuck in this very, very restrictive diet. And I feel like we've gotten out of, as a culture, like out of that restrictive mindset. And we've now gotten into intuitive eating is kind of like the new direction that I've been seeing things slowly start, which is what I really like to think about now. And kind of practice in a way is just eating what fuels my body and what I feel like I need at the time. But going from like a super restrictive lifestyle to then kind of just listening to my body has been a big change for me and has been something that I've had to deal with. But I think as a whole, we're all starting to get better at it. Because even with other things, I don't think we put as much emphasis on weight as we do feeling good. And I think that is amazing. That's all we've ever needed. I'm a kinesiology major. So my whole academic career has basically been learning about exercise and body movements and how we can fuel our body and how the body moves. And so this is exactly what lines up with like everything that I've been learning for the past 4 years. And all we need to do is just fuel our bodies. And I love how non-restrictive we've become with everything. I think we still have a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. I even still think about weight and I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, this is just not what I want to look like. But I think it's more so becoming maybe not body positive because sometimes it's very hard to be like, I love the way I look when you really don't, but more so becoming body neutral and just thinking that like, yes, this is my body. I love myself. And this is the body that I'm in, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And just not necessarily being like, this is the best version of myself right now. Cause I know for even me personally, this is not, but I'm like, this is the body that I've been given. This is what we're working with. And just whatever makes me feel fueled. And I've been using the word, I want to be strong a lot. And like that phrase, because my whole life, I've never felt like, not talking like mentally strong, like physically strong. And so that is something that I've been focusing on more instead of saying like, I want to be skinny. So when I'm at the gym, I'm trying to say, I want to be strong and just finding, it's almost like a mantra in a way.
I love that. I have recently also been trying to speak body neutrality into my life because It's so hard. It is so hard to not, especially as women, to judge ourselves. But then it's like, I don't want to let myself go in the sense of knowing, not just physically, but like knowing I'm not being my best self and I'm letting myself down and I'm not getting stronger, like you're saying. And so just being, it is what it is. And just simply being grateful for a body that moves, a body that woke you up this morning, a body that is just functioning the way it's able to function is so amazing. And being grateful for that as it is, and then being able to decipher how you want to improve upon yourself. I love that concept and I love everything you're saying. And I think it's great because there's a little voice in the back of my head always. And I'm not just saying this is going to go away with the younger generation, but that diet culture, that stigma about skinny is always better. Like that just always comes back around. And so I think it's wonderful the moves in which the younger generation is putting us saying it's good to be healthy. Healthy is better than skinny. It's good to be strong, you know? And I just love that concept. So as a whole, as we start to kind of wind down, what are either one thing or multiple things that you want to say on behalf of your generation to older generations? And this could be either busting a common myth. This could just be clearing something up, or it could simply be like, hey, this is the reality of what we go through every day. This is the reality of the world that we live in, college age or around college age. And I think it's just important to know as we start infiltrating your workplace here soon.
I think the biggest thing that I've realized is, this may not be a Gen Z thing, but just as like a young adult coming into the workplace, is that I have good ideas and I have something to say and share with people. And sometimes I feel undervalued because I am 21 and maybe don't have as much life experience as the next person and can be looked down upon. And I think this is just being younger and trying to navigate a world, and especially the workplace, where you're working with people who are like 50, 40, 30, like just have so much more life experience than you. And it can just be so overwhelming and you not feel valued for your opinion because you're the bottom of the totem pole person and you're younger. And so I think I struggle a lot with not feeling like my opinion matters or like anything that I have to say because I don't have that experience. So maybe in a way of just like, yes, you may have more experience than people, but maybe just hear them out and make people feel like they are appreciated, because that's something that I've been struggling a lot with, is realizing that everything that I say does truly matter. And I know what I'm doing, even if I don't necessarily have, even if I don't know everything, I still know what I'm doing in a way.
No, I get that. No, I love that. Okay. That resonates with me. I think especially as women, I remember my first couple of jobs, one of my early jobs in my early mid-20s, actually, I was working primarily with men who were 20 plus years older than me. And I just naturally sometimes, even though I'm a very confident person, felt inferior unintentionally, just because it was like, yeah, I'm a young woman. I can't do anything about that. This is my age. I'm still trying to be here and be professional and be my best present self. And it's almost this struggle of like, you can't help it. Like you can't all of a sudden snap fingers and be older or younger or male or a female. And so I love the idea of simply constantly showing respect, whether or not you agree with someone, whether or not you think their idea is better than yours or not, like just treating people with respect because they are humans with brains and opinions. And we all have the right to work and do our best. And hey, guess what? Look at what this younger generation is doing. Look at all the success people are creating. And whether you like it or not, like we're going to be working, if not for, at least with these people for a long, long time as we go. And then there's just going to be a new generation come in. So I love that reminder of just having the respect to hear people out, to treat them with respect, no matter what, no matter their age, no matter their role in the workplace. So thank you for that. And as always, your last question, as is everyone's, in your own words, Bailey, what does it mean to live well?
For me, living well means being true to myself And that could mean whatever I need at the time. So at my 21-year-old self, for me to live well, I need to be moving. I need to be eating whatever makes me feel good. I love to read, just kind of. I think for me, living well is just going into my hobbies and my relationships and just constantly learning and experiencing new things. I never want to become stagnant in my life and just like be okay with doing the same thing every single day. And so, almost in a way of just constantly learning, constantly improving myself, like never being satisfied, not, I don't want to say satisfied because I am just like confident and satisfied in a way with like who I am right now, but I never want to be stuck in where I'm at. Like I constantly want to be growing. And I think that's a part of living well is just trying to constantly strive to be that better version of yourself.
You are so wise beyond your years. That was very well said. This whole conversation, I've just been thinking like, okay, me 10 years ago would have never been able to express or even believed in half of the things that you're saying. And so I am very grateful for you. And I think this is also a very good reminder that there is a lot that we can learn from those younger than us, whether you're listening to this as Gen Z, millennial, boomer, whatever. Like there is so much more to life than just staying in your bubble and your circles with what you know and who you know. So thank you for this very insightful information into a younger generation. Obviously, I cannot speak to your age and I appreciate having someone on who can. So thank you so much. If people want to connect with you further, where can we find you?
So I'm mostly just active on Instagram at Baydean, so Baydean, and then same with on TikTok. It's the same exact thing. Those are probably the two that I'm most active on.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bailey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast. If you liked what you heard and you would like to support me, it would mean so much if you would subscribe to the show, rate and review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tag me on Instagram, all the things. That really does help me grow and it helps me create more content that I can put out for you all.